Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. Now, the thought crossed my mind. We spend at least, some more, some less, a third of our life sleeping. What if while we were sleeping and we're in that receptive state, we could hear so clearly from God in dreams and get direction for perhaps disasters that are coming in our life? For instance, I have friends that live in Israel, and especially when the suicide bombs were going off, and they're believers, before they would leave their home, they would have to hear from God. What if your dreams, you had the ability to understand? But I have to be candid with you. I've interviewed many people that have taught on understanding dreams, and they talk about symbols, and one symbol means this, and another symbol means that. And to be candid with you, I'm such a pragmatist that if I don't know it's God, I don't want to speculate, but I do want to know if it's God. And so I kind of laid a lot of this aside. But then I got a hold of a course by Mark Verkler. He's been a guest several times on Messianic Vision. And he has designed, and his gift to the body is teaching. He has a first, he learns a principle for himself. Then he uses it for himself. Then he teaches it to other people. And he's just come out with a 3-CD set. It's actually 5 sessions titled Hear God Through Your Dreams, plus a workbook that will cause you to be able, especially in the times that are coming, to know what God has for you. To be just like my Jewish believing friends in Israel, to know whether they should take a bus or not, to know whether they should even leave their apartment or not. What a wonderful thing. Mark Verkler, how did you get into understanding dreams? And were you just like me? Were you someone that's so pragmatic that you would have these symbolic dreams, not have a clue what God was saying, and so just forget them all, unless they happened to be literal?
Well, Sid, I got into dreams because I met a remarkable individual. I was up in Toronto teaching.
No, but even before you met him, what was your attitude towards your own dreams? Were you like me, or did you try to understand them, or what did you do?
Well, I never took him seriously. I just figured it was all pizza, you know, because it was all just...
You were like me.
Yeah, just a dream.
Except I don't eat pizza anymore, but that's okay. I can dream about it. Go ahead. Bad joke.
Okay, you know, and I just didn't take them seriously because they weren't rational. They weren't logical. And for me, everything had to be logic and ration and reason. And
me too. That's my biggest asset and my biggest liability.
Well, exactly. When God anoints our reasoning, then he can clean it up and make it.
Okay, so how did this door open to you, so to speak, of understanding dreams?
Well, I was doing a seminar up in the Toronto area, and my seminar on how to hear God's voice got done at 5 o'clock, and I heard that Herman Riffle was in the area doing a seminar on dream interpretation, Christian dream interpretation, and I found out where he was. He wasn't very far away. I went over for the evening session and got introduced to a statesman in the body of Christ who had walked with dreams for years and years and was teaching principles for how to hear God speak to you through your dreams.
Tell me a bit about this, because he intrigues me, this Herman Riffle. He's in heaven now, but tell me about him.
Well, he was a Baptist pastor, and then he got interested in dreams, so he went and got some training on dreams. He worked with the scriptures, and he wrote several books on dreams. He was 93 when he died, which was a year or two ago. But the Lord spoke to him through dreams, counseled him through dreams, guided him through dreams, and we were so intrigued that we brought the person to our Bible school and had him teach us and videotaped him teaching us on dreams many, many years ago.
Well, it was actually, as I understand it, he had a dream that changed his destiny. He would have never lived to 93 if he didn't have this dream and understand it. Tell me about that.
Well, he had a lot of dreams. One of the dreams he shares in his book is he's walking along the side of a narrow a mountain on a narrow path with his family behind him, and all of a sudden the path crumbles beneath him and his family go down to destruction. And he wakes up and he journals about it. He says, "Lord, what does this dream mean?" And the Lord says this. He said, "Herman, this private fantasy life that you're engaged in, that you think is so carefully controlled," he said, "if you do not get off this path that you're on, it's going to take you and your family down to destruction." And so Herman repented. He got off that path. He stayed faithful to his wife. The two of them were married, and until, like I say, he died at 93 years of age.
And I have no doubt he would have died prematurely if he did not have the dream and the understanding.
Yeah. Wonderful counsel from the wonderful counselor, correcting him, keeping him on the path of life.
After you began to study his lifetime of revelations on understanding dreams, how long did it take you to start understanding your dreams?
Well, I was fortunate to be in a Bible school where I got a group of half a dozen people around me, and we just got together weekly, and we began to share our dreams and study dreams from Scripture, and it really speeds up your growth if you can do it with a group. And so we spent about 6 months. We did 3 months of training and then 3 more months of just practicum, just coming together and working with our dreams as a group, interpreting them together, and at the end of that 6 months, we all felt confident that we were able to get God's message to us through those dreams.
Now, you yourself had a reoccurring dream, and first of all, if you have a reoccurring dream, what does that mean to you?
Well, that means that you didn't hear the message the first time the dream talked to you.
Oops.
The same reason your mother repeats herself or you repeat yourself to your children, because they didn't get it the first time. And so I had a reoccurring dream for probably 15 years of my life, and that I had had a stroke in the dream, and I would wake up paralyzed, feeling that I had a stroke, and I felt bloated in my arms and head and face. And then when I had the elders pray for me once for deliverance prayer, what came out was this actual demon of fear of stroke. And I had picked that up when I was somewhere around 8 to 10 years of age. I was very close to my grandfather. He died very unexpectedly, instantaneously, of what I perceived to be a stroke. It wasn't quite correct, but that was my childhood perception. And I was traumatized by that. And demons are not gentlemen, so they entered. A demon of fear of stroke entered during that trauma. And I had a fear of having a stroke for years. It showed up as a reoccurring dream in my heart, showing that I had a wound in my heart that needed prayer ministry. Once the elders prayed deliverance prayer, that demon came out with that same manifestation that I had in the dream. My wife was in the living room. She said it looked like I was having a stroke, and my face was bloated, my tongue was bloated, and it came out, and it's been now 20, 25 years, and I've never had that dream since then.
Mark, what is more important to me is not that you got this revelation, not that you get dreams every week and understand, really understand what God is saying every week, but can my mishpucha do the same thing?
Yes. Every single one who's listening, you can learn to hear God through your dreams. You can learn to receive his wonderful counsel, because he says he counsels us.
Wait a second. You have dreams at least once a week where God speaks to you so clearly.
Yes.
You're telling me that everyone can. Once a week now.
Absolutely. I guarantee it.
Okay. You heard that, Mishpucha. He guarantees it. I got it out of him.
I'm going to give them 4 or 5 things that they can do during this series, and if they'll do those 4 or 5 things, I will guarantee they will have dreams every week from God where the wonderful counselor is giving them counsel to improve the quality of their lives.
Now, you have many, many testimonies of people that have taken your course and then what's happened to them. Tell me about one person.
All right, I'm going to tell you about a lady, Suzanne Corniglia. She developed a Christian dance school, and it was birthed out of hearing God's voice through both dreams and then also journaling about the dream. Her husband, Salvatore, he was taking the courses with us, and they got married. He shared the courses with her, and she had a triple dream experience where the Lord, she was in nursing school, trained to be a nurse, and the Lord redirected her through those three dreams. She didn't get the message the first time or the second time, so he made it very clear the third time, and she changed her course. So she got out of nursing school, and what the Lord told her was that she should become a dancer for him and set up a dance school. And that's what the dream said, and so she went ahead, set up a dance school as a result of that. And a testimony she shares back a couple years ago, it's called the King's Dancers. It had grown from 4 students to 165 students. She had 9 staff teachers who were teaching it in 4 different locations in the Albany, New York region. They offered a variety of dances like ballet, tap, Irish step, hip-hop, flag dancing, banner dancing, and prophetic drama. And all of that came out of a triple dream experience where God redirected her and said, no, nursing is not what I called you to. I have called you to be a dancer and to train dancers. And she said it's been miraculous how the Lord has anointed it. They've done dance for both churches as well as secular situations.
Mark, the thing that's crossing my mind right now is in these tense economic times that we're living in, I believe that Scripture is true, which says the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. And what would happen if God were to give a dream to those that are listening right now, redirect their path, and in bad times, they would do terrific?
He wants to do that. He's dying to do that. He died literally on Calvary so he could restore that kind of relationship and give that kind of counsel to his children day by day, week by week, and month by month.
Okay, I know that you want this teaching. You could do it yourself. You could do it with a group. It's designed for you to have a dream a week and understand and hear from God. 3-CD set of teaching plus the workbook available for a gift of $35. Call our order only line, 1-800-447-2697. 1-800-447-2697. Mark, on yesterday's broadcast, we found out that your first 15 years of ministry, you thought all dreams were pizza. You were too pragmatic, too logical. And if you couldn't figure it out, you were not going to speculate. And then you came under the ministry of Reverend Herman Riffle, who lived for 93 years and studied dreams and understanding. And he gave you insight. Then your whole life changed, at least a third of your life changed, where you slept. You began receiving a dream a week and understood it. You told me before we went on the air that God gave you a prophetic word for our listeners. Tell me that.
All right. I was journaling a couple of days ago, and here's what the Lord said. He said, my children can have direct, ongoing, living encounter with me. That includes hearing me throughout the day as well as during the night. I speak through my still small voice as well as through dreams and visions. I give myself to my children daily. I am not a God who holds back. I give myself completely to my children daily. I hunger for them to hear and see. They can hear and see. Many do hear and see, and you are teaching them how to hear and see more clearly. Raise their faith and awareness of my voice to them through their dreams. Call them into faith. Call them into belief. For all responds to faith and belief. I respond to faith and belief. If they will believe for me to speak through their dream, then they will receive. Call them into faith, and I will do the rest.
Mark, we don't have to be a prophet to recognize we are in the midst of, and it seems to be getting progressively worse, tough economic times. And if there's ever been a time that we have to take a third of our life that is normally wasted, except our body is restored, and be able to hear from God and get redirection, etc. But one of the things I like about your course, and it's a 3 CDs, 5 sessions, and a workbook called Hear God Through Your Dreams, is you are very, very foundational in Scripture. In fact, you go thoroughly a discussion of every dream in the Bible. Tell me some of the scriptural basis for us to be looking, expecting God to speak to us through dreams.
Okay, well, one verse would be Psalm 16:7. David says, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my inner man, in the Hebrew it's kidneys, my inner being instructs me in the night. So that's a really clear verse saying God gives every one of us instruction and counsel at night through our dreams. He's the wonderful counselor. The Bible is full of him giving wonderful counsel to people. I mean, you just look at the birth of Jesus. I mean, the wonderful counsel he gave to Joseph. He counseled him to go to Egypt. He counseled him to come back to Egypt. He counseled through a dream. He told the wise men not to go back to Herod. This is all wonderful counsel from the wonderful counselor protecting you and directing you so you take the right steps to avoid calamity and are able to walk into the destiny that God has for you.
Well, you teach a bit about how we literally can have a covenant established with us through dreams.
Well, that's a powerful story. It's Genesis 15, and it's the Abrahamic covenant. And God is entering into a covenant with Abraham, which is, of course, the first covenant, which is, of course, the Old Testament. And what I didn't even notice for years is that that happened in a dream. God starts with a vision, and in the beginning of the chapter, it descends into a dream by the time you're down to verse 6 or so. And in this dream, God shows up, interacts with Abram. Abraham's pretty afraid. He gets very terrified at one point, but that doesn't mean it was a dream from Satan just because there was fear or terror there. It still was a dream from God. And God, it specifically says, God entered into a covenant with Abraham, and then he awoke. And I thought, what? I said, I thought this was pizza. And I'm finding out that God can enter into a covenant with me and with you and with our listeners and establish covenantal relationships with us in a dream. I said, man, his view of dreams is completely different than my view of dreams. I need to readjust my view of dreams.
Let me stretch you a little, and maybe I won't be stretching you, but I have had guests say to me that when they dream, many times they see themselves in another country, and they're ministering there, and most people would think it was a dream, but it was actually going on. And then years later, they go to that area. They'd never been there before. It's exactly the way it was in their dream. And people say, I saw you here, and they've never even been there before.
Well, that doesn't stretch me, okay? I think it's exciting that...
Have you ever heard of that? Has that ever happened to you?
Well, I have heard of that kind of thing happening, all right? It hasn't happened to me personally. I'm a little bit too left-brained probably to go quite that far down the road of a visionary encounter. It seems like right-brainers and prophets and prophetesses go further than left-brainers do, and that's okay. I don't have to be everything. I can be who I am, you know, and they can be who they are, and we can team up and complement one another. Prophets and teachers can get together and...
But that's what makes you such a great teacher. Anything you can do, anyone else can do because you can teach it.
Well, that's our goal, is to lay it out clear enough so that people can do it.
Okay, I have to tell you, I have personally interviewed many people that have given me charts of symbols. And I have followed it, and I've understood to a degree, but I can honestly say it's still multiple guess in many instances. What's wrong with me?
Well, I'm not sure anything's wrong with you, okay? You know, I don't go to a dream dictionary book to find out what these symbols mean. I go to my own heart because my heart was the one drawing the pictures, trying to communicate a message to me, and I do believe the symbols are going to be different based on a person's experience. I mean, if you look, because I believe the symbols in your dreams are going to come out of your experiences. You look at Joseph. He's a shepherd boy. He lives in the open field. The symbols in his dream are the symbols that surround him. It's the sheaves bowing down. It's a sun, moon, and stars bowing down. these are the symbols that surround a shepherd boy. His heart took those symbols, wove them into a story for him, and gave him a message. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar dreams, he's a king who lives in a palace, so he dreams of a statue of gold and iron and bronze, a little stone hitting it. Well, what surrounds kings who live in palaces? Statues of gold made out of themselves, normally. So, you see, the symbols were different based on the life of the person, because the symbols come from the person's heart. They do not come from a dream dictionary book, in my estimation. So, see, a person wants to ask their heart, hey, what does that symbol mean to me? I mean, I grew up in a dairy farm. We had a big red barn. That meant a lot to me. I planned on being a farmer. If that big red barn shows up in my dream, it means something unique to me.
Why is it? I'm going to ask a question for myself right now. I have had several dreams in my lifetime that were absolutely literal. I did what God said, and it came to pass. and so as the pragmatist that I am, I said, God, just give me literal dreams. But I feel like I'm wasting so much valuable information because of the symbolic dreams that I haven't understood.
Okay, well, you are right. God can and does give literal dreams. We have that in the Bible. And he also gives symbolic dreams. The sun, moon, and stars bowing down, that's all symbolism. Sheaf, that's all symbolism. And you're right. If you miss that part, then you're missing an awful lot of counsel that you could be receiving. So why doesn't God just give us all literal dreams?
That's what I want.
The Bible says that these are called dark sayings. And what it is, it's your heart trying to communicate things to you that your mind wasn't quite ready to accept in a really verbal approach. And so your heart says, let me give through some symbolism here, and then you can pull out of it what you're ready to accept. And what you're not ready to accept, we'll just leave in the back burner. And someday down the road, you'll be ready to accept that. So it, rather than forcing the message upon you, it offers the message to you. So if your heart is ready, it'll reach out and get it. And if it's not, it'll just be in the back burner until you are ready for it.
Now, one of the things that you urge people to do is to put a little pencil and paper next to their bed, on the table next to their bed. Why do you do that? Why can't they just, during their normal prayer time, when they get up, recall what they dreamt?
Well, because they're probably not going to recall stuff. The simple act of putting that pencil and paper next to your bed, you are communicating a message to your heart saying, I take you seriously, I'm taking dreams seriously, and I'm letting you know that if you give me a dream, I will write it down when you give it to me. And your heart says, okay, he's taking me seriously. He doesn't believe it's a pizza dream anymore. And because he's taking me seriously, I'm going to wake him up and remind him of the dreams. Because if your heart does not wake you up...
Well, I can tell you this. I find that I forget my dreams if I don't write them down.
That's right. And if your heart...
Whoops, our time is up. My guest, Mark Verkler, has just put together a 3-CD set, 5 sessions, and a workbook titled Hear God Through Your Dreams. And he believes that anyone that goes through this teaching in the tense, tough times that are coming on planet Earth are going to get redirection of jobs, are going to get divine protection, divine inspiration, solutions to problems, escape disasters. It's can you imagine? You are literally going to be excited before you go to sleep. Mark, are you excited with expectation before you go to sleep that God's going to speak to you?
I am, and I tell my spirit to work on different things. If I've got a problem that I'm needed solving, I ask for my heart to work on that and for God to give revelation. If I'm struggling and need counsel, I ask for that because I know my heart, through dreams, will work on that all night long and give me an answer to the question that I pose to it before I go to sleep at night.
Can you give me an example of someone that perhaps had a supernatural warning from God about something awful that would happen in their life? A real-life experience.
I can. It's a lady that I talked to. She's actually part of our school, and she's in the California prison system currently for serving a life sentence. She had grown up in California, and she her family moved her away when she was a young girl. And in her teen years, she wanted to go back to California. And she received a dream at night, and she shared this with me over the phone. She received a dream at night where the Lord clearly showed her if she went back to California, she would go to prison. And she ignored that dream, and she went back to California. She got involved in drugs. Her roommate was in drugs with her, and she ended up accidentally killing, or purposely killing, her roommate, all right, when she was on drugs. She was tried for it, and she is now doing a life prison sentence in prison because she did not honor the counsel and the warning that God had given to her through a dream.
You know, God is such a good God that I believe He is speaking to us so clearly in dreams, if we only understood the language. Speaking of understanding the language, you had just touched a little bit about you approach symbolism different than just about anyone I know. To me, the way you approach it is easier and makes more sense than the way most people do, because each of us has different meanings to different symbols, so therefore God can't use the same symbol for everyone and say this is what it means, as many people take that approach. But let's take you. You're about ready to go to sleep at night. You told me you have a pad next to your bed on a little table with a pencil, ready to write down whatever God shows you. Give me an example of what, and by the way, that's an act of faith in itself. That means you're expecting to use it. If being pragmatic as I am, I wouldn't want to put that there if I wasn't going to use it. All right, so what would you pray before you go to bed? And take me kind of step by step of what occurs.
Whenever I go to sleep, I'm going to sort of lay there and I'm going to say, Lord, would you give me a dream tonight? A simple one-line prayer, but Lord, would you give me a dream tonight?
I'm reminded of the scripture, you have not because you ask not. But what happens if someone says, Lord, would you give me a dream tonight? And they wake up the next morning and they did not have a dream. And maybe this goes on for a couple of nights. Most people would give up.
Well, okay. If your heart wakes you up within 5 minutes of the dream ending, you will recall the dream. So you need to let your heart know that you want it to wake you up. And you do that by saying, I take dreams seriously. I believe they're a message from God, and I want God to speak to me through the dream. That's a signal to your heart saying, wake me up. When you put your paper next to your bed, that's your signal to your heart saying, wake me up. When your heart does wake you up, you then immediately record your dream. You don't say, I'll get it in the morning, because you'll forget it. You immediately record it. That's a signal to your heart saying, I'm taking you seriously. And then you get...
Now, I'm a little concerned about what you just said,
okay,
Mark, because I don't want to be so alert that I'm woken up to right after I have the dream. Let's suppose I have it not just as I wake up, but in the middle of the night. I'm afraid that'll wake me up and get my mind active again. What do you think about that?
Well, you're going to have your dreams during the light sleep period anyway, so you're going to be almost awake anyway. You won't be totally groggy when you wake up. And if you wake up and you just take 4 or 5 minutes and you jot down the essence of the symbols and basic things of the dream, you can drift right back off to sleep again, and you can ask God to put you back to sleep. I mean, you can ask for these kinds of things. He'll honor those things, and he'll do it.
Okay, so you've asked, you've received, you write down your dream on a piece of paper. Then what?
And then when I am up in the morning and ready to interpret the dream, I'm going to ask, okay, what does that symbol mean? And what does this symbol mean? And what does this symbol mean to me? And I'm going to tune to flow. Once I ask the question, I'm going to go back and picture the dream, ask the question, what's the key action? What's the key motion? What are the key symbols? I'm going to tune to flow because I know that God's voice sounds like flowing thoughts and flowing pictures. Out of my innermost being shall flow rivers of living water.
The key that you have is that you expect the Holy Spirit to do the interpretation.
Absolutely.
Rather than a book of formulas.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And the Holy Spirit will do the interpretation, you know, and he does it through the voice of God, which comes to you as flowing thoughts and flowing pictures.
All right, well, give me, if you will, because I'm kind of like you. I want things in a logical order. give me some keys to hearing God's interpretation of my dream.
All right. Well, you're going to quiet yourself down. You're going to picture the dream. You're going to ask a question. What does this symbol mean? You're going to tune to flowing thoughts. And then you're going to write down the flow that comes back to you, trusting that it's your heart and the Holy Spirit in your heart communicating that to you. And, of course, once you've written out your interpretation, you can bounce it off your spouse and your spiritual friends to make sure that they feel good that you've got the right interpretation. But those are the basic steps that I would take in interpreting a dream. And I would ask, like, what's the key? What's the key action of the dream? What's the key emotion of the dream? If the key action is I'm falling, then I'll say, okay, where in my life yesterday was I falling? Because the dream came out of yesterday, what I was wrestling with. And I may say, I know where I was falling. I believe God was going to do this thing in my life. He didn't do it, and my face was shook, and I felt like I was shattered, and I was falling into unbelief and doubt. All right, maybe the dream showed that I was flying like a bird. I'd say, okay, yesterday, where was I flying? And I'd say, I know where. Man, I was just so free in the spirit. The bonds of sin were broken. I was soaring in the spirit. It was an awesome day. So you ask, where in my life am I experiencing that symbol right now? And then you write down what you receive back from the Lord. So the key emotion of the dream, you want the key emotion, and you also want the key action of the dream. You want those two written down.
Does it matter at all if the dreams are in black and white or Technicolor?
I don't believe it matters at all. I've heard people suggest that it does. But, you know, when I go back to the Bible, there's no teaching on it either way. All right? So the Bible's not going to clarify it. When I look at my own experience, when I began to work with dreams, I was a left-brainer, so my stuff was all pretty black and white. And now I've moved over to the right side, so my dreams are more full color. So I just think it's the way we're wired.
What if it's a dream that you're in it as opposed to a dream that you're an observer? Does that make a difference?
I think that does tend to indicate one thing versus another. When Pharaoh was watching seven skinny cows and watching seven fat cows, he was just an observer of the action. It wasn't really about stuff taking place in his heart. It was about the next 14 years of his kingdom. So I think when we're observers of the action of the dream, that's an indication that it's about something outside of my heart, something out there in real life that's maybe going to happen. Where if I'm a participant in the action, then it's more likely that it's about a struggle going on inside of my own heart that I need to resolve and wrestle with.
Now, you've explained that the principle of dreams show the screams of an unhealed heart. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I had a 15-year dream, you know, and it didn't go away. And it was a scream of an unhealed heart saying, look, you have fear down here. And you need to heal this fear. And I'm going to come and show you that fear every single night in a dream until you come and apply some inner healing prayer, some deliverance prayer, whatever it takes. And once you get it resolved, then the scream is going to go away, and you will not have that dream anymore from that point on.
Mark, tell me one dream in your life that really made a difference.
Well, how about if I give you a dream from my wife's life, from Patty's?
Okay.
She went to bed mad this night, and she said she doesn't remember why she was mad. She just knew that she had a right to be angry, and she was. And so in the dream, she opens up the door to her house, and there is a bull, like a cartoon character bull, standing outside on his hind feet, takes his front feet, knocks her glasses off her face, and steps on them and crushes them. So she wakes up, and she asks the question, well, what emotion does a bull represent to me? She said, well, I would usually put the word angry with a bull, an angry bull. So the bull's talking about anger, which she went to bed angry. And what's the main action of the dream? Well, the main action is he knocks the glasses off her face and crushes them. So what does that action symbolize? Well, it's going to destroy your ability to see clearly. And so the interpretation is, when I open the door to anger in my life, I lose my ability to see things clearly. And that's wonderful counsel, saying you may have a right to be angry, but you don't want to be angry because it's going to devastate and wreck your life.
So you can be angry, when the Bible says sin not, but the more that you're angry, you distort your vision. Who wants distorted vision? I want you to have Mark's 3-CD set and his workbook called Hear God Through Your Dreams. Mandatory end time teaching. Gift of $35. Call our order only line, 1-800-447-2697. 1-800-447-2697. Mark, earlier in the week, you told me something that excited me immensely. You said that it's biblically possible and it's experientially possible for us to receive gifts in dreams. Explain what you mean.
All right. Solomon received a gift in his dream. He had just been put in as king, and he was scared. He was young. He was afraid. And if you go to 1 Kings chapter 3, just the first 10 verses or so, it says that in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and the Lord said, "Ask what I shall give to thee." And then what he asked back for, he says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart." And in the Hebrew, it's a hearing heart, and in the New American Standard, it says hearing heart. "So I can judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who's able to judge such a great people?" And God says back to him, "I have done according to your words. I have given you a wise and an understanding," or a hearing heart, "so that there's none like thee before thee, nor shall any arise after thee." And he goes on to say, in addition, "I'm going to give you a couple other things too, all right? I'm going to give you riches and honor, things that you did not ask for, in addition to a hearing heart." And then in verse 15 it says, "And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he went to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Covenant, offered burnt offerings, and he worshipped." He said, "Dan, God just encountered me. I just received something from God, and I'm going to worship him for what he gave to me in this dream."
Now, do you know any people that have received gifts from dreams?
Well, you know, the gift that God gave to Solomon was a hearing heart. The ability to hear the Holy Spirit in his heart, give him wisdom so he could make wise decisions. And, of course, if you can make wise decisions, you have favor amongst men, and you also have the blessing of God and prosperity. And I think anyone and everyone who begins to hear God through their dreams, including you, Sid. You know, you shared a dream with me a couple of days ago. You know, things before you, and if you can make, and the dream was counseling you to approach people in a wise manner, and by you saying yes to that and approaching them in a wise manner, you have favor with that people, you have blessing with that people. And so I really believe this kind of thing happens all the time. To all of us, we receive a hearing heart, we receive revelation, and a result of that is blessing and prosperity in our lives.
So, in effect, you're also saying to me that dreams can release creativity.
Absolutely, absolutely, and so much creativity comes from dreams. The scientist who was looking through a telescope trying to figure out what a benzene molecule looked like, he couldn't figure it out, so he had a dream at night of a dogs in a circle chasing one another. They had the tail of the dog in front of them in their mouth. And he woke up in the morning and said, "I wonder if the benzene molecule is circular." And he was able to prove through his microscope that it was. The guy who developed the sewing machine couldn't figure out how to thread the hook of the sewing machine. And in a dream at night, God gave him a picture of how the thread should go into the needle of the sewing machine. So I just think probably almost all creativity comes through this kind of a means.
Mark, give me a real-life situation of someone that had clues to their own health as a result of a dream.
A lady who worked with me as my personal assistant, and she had a dream at night that she entered into her house, and she could smell smoke, and she went looking for the fire and finally found the fire down in the kitchen in the lower cupboards. And she didn't really respond to that dream because she didn't really know exactly what that dream meant. But a couple months later, she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You've got a fire inside of you. You've got inflammation in your intestines caused by stress, and I'm going to give you some medication, and you need to relax." And So she took the medication, she relaxed, and it went away. But and of course, that dream was telling her that 2 months earlier. It said, in your home, the place that you live, your body, there's a fire. It's in the kitchen area, which is where we eat food, which symbolizes the digestive tract. It's not in the upper cupboards, which would be my esophagus or stomach, but it's in the lower cupboards, which is my intestines. In my intestines, there's a fire. So she was warned 2 months before pain warned her of a sickness, and she could have averted it by relaxing. And a year later, when the dream came back, she knew that she was being warned a second time. Okay, you're under stress again. If you don't relax, you're going back to the doctor. And she relaxed immediately, did not need to go back to the doctor, did not need medication. And so in that case, she heard the counsel of her dream, acted on it, and averted a sickness as a result of it.
Mark, in the times we're living in, can you imagine if God gave someone an idea for a business or how to make money, that they could end up being part of that great wealth transfer? Give me a real-life example of someone that had a dream that released creativity.
All right. I'll tell you about a young man named Eric Rose. When he was in college, he was training to be an artist, but he quit because the performance orientation just wrecked it for him. And so he left that, and he went into a totally left-brain kind of a job. I believe it was accounting. I kind of forget right now. But when he became alive to dreams, God gave him several dreams, reigniting his passion to draw and to paint and to create the visions that God was given to him. And God took him a step beyond what he'd done in the past, because God called him into sculpturing and making, you know, 6-foot sculptures out of bronze, you know, of beautiful, beautiful action kinds of figures, people worshiping in the presence of God, totally alive. And he's shown me some of these pictures. They're just totally alive. And these things sold for like thousands of dollars. And so God restored a crushed part within him, brought him back and enlarged the gift that God had initially given to him and made it into something where he could actually produce an income while he blessed the world and the body of Christ.
Well, you know, you've actually been corrected in your attitude towards people through dreams. Tell me about the time God showed you people are far more important than projects.
Well, we were in India, and we were going to tape for 2 weeks straight, 6 days a week, 10 hours a day. We were going to tape six of our key courses. We taped 100 sessions. I'd never talked 10 hours a day for 6 days a week. I wasn't sure I could do that. And I was pretty nervous because we were going to be on TV. And I had a dream. The first couple of days I was there, I had a couple, two or three dreams. The first dream, somebody came and asked for me to pray for them in the dream, and I just pushed them off, brushed them off. I was too busy. And I felt terrible. I thought, Mark, how could you do that? And the second dream I had, my computer got stolen from me, and then it got destroyed. And when I got up and journaled about those dreams and asked the Lord, he said, Mark, he said, the people who are working the cameras here are more important than what you're producing. And I want you to teach them how to...
And by the way, in the natural, that doesn't make sense. What you're producing should be more important than the people doing the cameras.
Well,
but from a spiritual perspective, that's not true. From a natural perspective, that's true.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And God, the wonderful counselor, is rebalancing me and saying, Mark, put people first. And so I asked him, the guy who was running the production, could we have morning devotions and I'll teach these guys how to hear God's voice and how to interpret dreams. And Tim said, sure. So in the morning we journaled and learned how to hear God's voice. We shared journaling, and over lunchtime we shared dreams for 2 weeks straight. And those guys became proficient at hearing God's voice and interpreting dreams. And we taped over 100 sessions in that 2 week period.
But had you not listened to God, you would have taped. But I believe the anointing wouldn't have even been there like it was.
Well, that's exactly right. And the friendships that developed there amongst us still remain to this day. We brought life to everyone that we were touching there, not just those who are going to watch us on DVD, but everyone received the life of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm going to talk about a man that was in ministry for his first 15 years that thought all dreams were pizza. And then you got the revelation through a man that lived 93 years, that studied dreams. And now, today, you look forward to your dreams. How would your life be different if you had never gotten this understanding?
Well, I would have missed so much wonderful counsel from God, and I would be out doing things in an imbalanced way, much more...
You'd be doing things in the flesh rather than doing things by the Spirit.
Yep, and a much more caustic individual. I wouldn't be softened by the power of the Holy Spirit to change me and say, keep people first, love people, don't get consumed with projects. So much of my personality and life has changed as a result of that, and success, I believe, also.
I want you to speak to someone that's listening right now and has just said, that's him. He has a gift. He can understand dreams. I'll never be able to.
All right. I will just simply say that that is a lie from the enemy. That is not true, because I did not start out with a gift on interpreting dreams. I'm a left-brain thinker, theologian, Baptist background, and dreams and visions and intuition was impossible for me. And God taught me how to do it, and I can lay it out linearly with a clear lineal set of rules that you can follow so that you can reproduce in your life what God has produced in my life. I promise and guarantee that can happen.
Okay, and I want you to give, even though they don't totally understand yet because they haven't gotten your course, I want them to start dreaming. Give them instructions on what they should do tonight very quickly.
All right, just simply as you go to sleep, say, God, give me a dream. I believe in dreams. I'm asking you to speak to me. Put your paper and pencil next to your bed and say, heart, when you wake me up, I will record what you give me. And then get yourself 8 hours of sleep. If at all possible, you want to aim for 8 hours because that's going to give you the best opportunity for dream time. And when you awaken, if a dream is there, begin to jot it down, a summary of it. And if you don't remember all of it, don't yank on it. Just gently tug and say, Holy Spirit, remind me of the rest. Tune to flow and let it just bubble on up to you.
Okay. My guest, Mark Verkler, challenges you. You'll spend a third of your life sleeping. How would you like that third of your life redeemed by the Lord, where he will literally speak to you, give you warnings of perhaps destruction or disaster that's coming your way, tell you what to invest in, give you solutions to problems, redirect your life? Well, doesn't that sound a whole lot better? Well, I gave you a challenge yesterday. I told you to put a little piece of paper and a pencil next to the lampstand by your bed and write down your dreams. Now, assuming that someone did it, or they will do that tonight, Mark Verkler, now they have their dream. The key is for the Holy Spirit to explain to them that dream. For starters, how are they going to hear the Spirit of God to give them this revelation?
All right, so what does God's voice sound like? I'm going to suggest that God's voice sounds like spontaneous thoughts that light up on your mind while your eyes are fixed on Jesus, while your heart is fixed on Jesus. So I've written down this summary of the dreams. I've got these images here, and then I start asking some key questions, and I tune to flowing thoughts and flowing pictures, believing that they're going to bubble up from the river of God within me, and they will. And I jot down what's coming to me. I jot down the summary of it. I like to work together. One can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. I hate learning stuff alone. I like to get my spouse in with it, my kids in with it, my home group with it, and we just learn together and we share what we found, and people offer other pieces in, and we get a bigger picture, a more complete picture, and my heart bears witness and finally leaps and says, bingo, that's it. And no one should ever accept an interpretation to their dream that their heart does not leap to and say, yes, yes, yes.
And that's what happened to me off the air when I shared a dream that I had, and you told me what it meant, and I said, that's what I believed it meant. So you were just confirming what the Holy Spirit had shown me, but I didn't have enough confidence to believe it.
Yeah, and that's the value of a couple people sharing together, because they help spur ideas. But the final analysis, then your heart leaps and says yes. And if your heart doesn't leap, you should not accept any interpretation to your dream that your heart does not leap to and say yes, yes, yes.
Mark, I want you to give me some of your real life experiences. I want you to tell me
certain dreams that you recall and the process that occurred for you to understand your own dream.
All right, Sid, let me just share a couple dreams. Dreams come out of the day that you just lived in. All right, that's a biblical principle, and Paul had that. You know, he was wondering where to go in his missionary journey, and the Spirit forbid him to go to Bithynia in Asia, and then he had a dream at night, that night, of a Macedonian man saying, come on over. And so he got up in the morning, acted on his dream, and said, God told me to go to Macedonia. So I'm going to assume that my dream is answering the question I went to sleep with. So this night I went to sleep having just began a brand new endeavor in my life. I had learned how to hear God's voice. For the first time, I'd learned the four keys. Quiet yourself down, fix your eyes on Jesus, tune to spontaneity, and begin to write. And I journaled for 5 hours and wrote out 5 hours of God talking to me, which was a life-changing experience. Now, that night, I put a piece of paper next to my bed, and even though I had not recalled a dream for 9 months, I recalled three dreams that first night. And the first, and that's the simple, again, you just ask for a dream and you expect it and put paper there. First dream, I have a new job. I'm the caretaker of a house. I'm going up the stairs, into the bathroom, getting cleaning supplies, coming back down the stairs, and I'm riding a horse. And that's pretty awkward, all right? And so I journaled about it. I said, Lord, what is this? Well, you know, the questions you want to ask are, what are the key symbols? Well, the first symbol is I have a new job. Okay, well, what might that symbolize in light of the day I just lived? Well, hey, I did get a new job yesterday. I got a job of hearing God's voice. I learned to use four keys, quiet myself down, fix my eyes on Jesus, tune to flow and write. So my dream said, okay, you did something new yesterday. I said, yep. You know, how comfortable does this dream indicate I feel about this new job? I feel like a horse on the stairwell. I feel like a bull in the china closet. I said, God, I said, I'm a theologian. I'm not into vision and dreams and flow, and I feel really awkward. But the next symbol of the dream says, yeah, but if you stay with this, even though you feel awkward, it's going to take you up a flight of stairs. Well, what's that symbolize? Well, flight of stairs, a higher plane, yeah. So it's going to take me to a higher place in God. And when we get there, we're going to go into the bathroom, get some cleaning supplies out, clean some things up. And I said, you know, that's true, too. If I hear God's voice, he's going to clean up some areas of my life. He's going to say, Mark, love your wife. Don't be so judgmental. Trust me. Those are things he said over and over and over, 50 times apiece during that first year of journaling. Those are cleaning supplies. So this dream is a message from God saying, Mark, I know you feel awkward about what you began today. Stick with it. It's going to take you to a great place in me and clean up some areas of your life. And the second dream I had that night, I pulled my car into a parking lot, turned it off. It won't turn off. So here's another kind of question you can ask. You can ask, in what way am I experiencing that symbol in my life right now? So if I paraphrase that question, I say, fine. So what is there in my life yesterday that I tried to turn off and it wouldn't turn off? And I tuned a flow and it pops into my mind just like that. I said, I know what it was. I tried to turn off my left brain logic and reason and say, look, I'm going to go with heart flow here for a little bit and pictures. And my left brain reason said, you're not shutting me off. You can try to turn me off, but I'm not turning off because I rule in your life. I'm the God you worship. And I had to dethrone it and say, no, rationalism is not the God I worship. Christianity is heart to heart, not head to head. And so those dreams were examples of me having to battle through and showing the issues in my heart when I went to sleep and how to process them properly so I could move forward a step in God. So here's what Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5 says. It says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And of course, God says, when I give you a dream, I'm the wonderful counselor giving you counsel in your heart. So the Bible says, okay, great, you got counsel in your heart. How do you get it out? Do you yank it out? Do you demand it to come? He says, no, no. A man of understanding will draw it out. You ask the right questions, you tune to flow, and you let the Holy Spirit draw out the understanding of that which your heart was communicating to you. So that's the process we use in Christian dream interpretation.
Mark, as you do in your course, give me some examples of dreams that change destinies of people, even destinies of a country.
All right. Well, you know, we all remember Joseph's dreams, all right, and a sun, moon, and stars bowing down. It was showing him his future, that there was going to come a time in his future where he was going to rule, and even his parents and brothers and sisters would bow down to him. He believed it. He ended up living that out. Pharaoh, he was given dreams of seven fat cows and seven skinny cows the next 14 years, saying, look, you're going to have 7 years of plenty, stock up, because there's going to be 7 years of famine after that, and if you're not stocked up, you're going to be hurting. So he stocked up. Nebuchadnezzar, he has a dream. You know, he goes to bed saying, I'm the greatest king who's ever lived, you know, and my kingdom will go on as an everlasting kingdom. And he has a dream that night of a tree being chopped off at the roots. Well, knowing what was on his heart that night, you know, that he was full of pride, that dream says, you're an arrogant fool, and if you don't repent, you're going to be cut down. And he took his dream to Daniel. Daniel interpreted it, and Daniel said to him, he said, you know what? The dream is saying that if you do not recognize that the Most High is ruler in the realm of mankind, if you do not repent, God's going to cut you down. You're going to be like a wild beast in the field. And then Daniel pled with him. He said, please, please repent so that this calamity does not befall you. And the next verse says, 12 months later. So he didn't repent for 12 months. 12 months later, the king does lose his mind, and he goes out for 7 years and eats grass. So God is pleading with us to repent. He's showing us things in our dreams.
So that kind of begs the next question that I have, and that is, let's suppose someone has a dream that they're going to die of cancer. What would you do? Or what should they do if they had such a dream? Is it totally fatalistic? Is it going to happen?
No, dreams are not fatalistic. They're just warnings. Just like Herman Riffle had a dream, you know, if you stay on this path, it'll take you down. But the dream, the Bible says very clear that the dream is a warning encouraging us to get off that path. Job 33, verses 14 and following says, God speaks once or twice in a dream, in a vision of the night, all right? And he says, the purpose of this is to keep his life from perishing. So God isn't saying this is fatalism. He's saying, look, I'm warning you, all right? And if you can heed this warning, then you don't have to perish. So I would never accept a dream as fatalism. I would say, hey, here's a warning. It's a mid-course correction. Change your step so that you do not fall into this calamity, and instead you walk into the blessing that the Lord has for your life.
I'm thinking, what would happen if the President of the United States was to have a dream from God, of which God would redirect his thinking from political thinking to God thinking? That would change the destiny of America.
Let's pray for that to happen. We're to pray for our...
I agree in Yeshua's name right now that President Obama will have, and you agree with me,
yes.
Will have a dream from heaven about Israel, about the United States,
yes.
About the economy,
yes.
About the morality of this nation,
yes.
And would become radical in his steps for you. And remember, it is mandatory you send in right now for the 3-CD set of 5 sessions of teaching by Mark Ferkler and a workbook called Hear God Through Your Dreams, available for a gift of $35. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim. Write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.